Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, and happy New Year. It is New Year's Eve, and the show must go on. I'm the coach, Keith Howard, alongside the David Owen. The David Owen. I've been watching too much college football because, you know, all this the Ohio State. Dave, how you doing this morning?
What's up, the Coach Howard? And we've made it to the final day of 2016, man. Here we go, man. Almost ready for 2017, brother.
Yeah, and you know the great thing about New Year's Eve nowadays is you get to watch Roll Tide football. I mean, does it get any better than that?
No.
Like, that's the last sporting event of 2016. So it doesn't get any better than the semifinals of college football. So I got my evening all mapped out. How about you?
Yeah. Me too, man. Afternoon
it's good,
and
right?
Evening. I mean, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, the game start at 3, and then, you know, I mean, that first one will go at 3, and then that second one will go at 7, and in between I'll probably, you know, I mean, you know, have a rack of ribs somewhere in there and a cold drink,
mm-hmm.
and then bring in the new year after the second game, and, oh, yeah, man. I mean, this will be good, man. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to it, too. And there's been a lot of good college football on over this holiday season, as it always is. But quite honestly, that's going to lead us to our pay attention topic. And, Dave, one more time, last time for 2016, explain to our listening audience the PAT.
Well, point after touchdown, as we all know in the world of football, is that extra point. And, you know, but on this show, you know, it's not one point. What it is many points. And it's, you know, our pay attention topic is not the point after touchdown. It's the pay attention topic where we take a topic and we really dig into it and give our opinion and our thought processes and how it applies to the world of sports. So, you know, the PAT is not the kick here. It is the pay attention topic. And I think you should hit that button and get the PAT going, Coach.
You know what? 48 weeks ago, I said to you, Dave, hit the button. And 48 weeks later, I'm hitting the button. I'm going to hit the button. Dave, I'd like to call this pay attention topic no bowling. Now, the quick story on no bowling. There's an episode, I'm going to digress here for a second. There's an episode of The Flintstones where Fred's hand gets stuck in the bowling ball. And ever since I saw that episode, I've never put my hand in a bowling ball. But this is a different
really?
Bowl. Yeah, really, really. I'll tell you about that off air. Yeah, yeah. I don't put my fingers in bowling balls. But here's the thing.
Okay.
So you got these guys out here who are up and saying, so you already know where my stance is on this. I'm not going to play in the game so I can go prepare for the NFL draft. I get mad just thinking about it. Now, where do you stand on this whole thing, Dave? It is not cool to me.
I don't have a problem with it, Coach, and here's why. I mean, if everyone across the board, you know, had to show up and participate in these bowl games, I would have no problems with it at all. But college football has become, and really big-time college athletics, I mean, at the highest level, basketball and football, revenue producing, I mean, it's become such a a money grab. It's become such a corporate type thing for everyone, you know, coaches, executives on campus, TV networks, et cetera. It's become sort of a corporate thing, and everyone's looking out for their best interest except for the player. And, you know, coaches can lead. Coaches lead before bowl games all the time. We know that. You're a former coach or you're a current coach. I mean, you understand. You've heard that story many times. And, listen, I think it would be great to go to a bowl game. I was a college football player, didn't get to go. I would have loved to go. But what I am saying is that if a player believes that he or she, it's in their best interest to prepare and not get hurt, a la Leonard Fournette or Chris McCaffrey or for the Stanford running back, I say go ahead. I may not agree with it, but I'm okay with it because coaches leave before bowl games all the time. And I think players should be allowed to take on their best interest, look out for their best interest, just like a coach who says, oh, it's best for my family that I leave and before the bowl game and go get ready for the recruiting period at my new school. It happens all the time.
So two things. One, they are looking out for their best interest by getting a free education. Most don't even go to class, but I'll leave that alone. But they get a free education. So the average college education is about $25,000 a year. So they're getting $100,000, right? So then for one game, they go, oh, no, we're going to turn our back on all of our teammates, all of the – managers, the receptionists, the coaches, the fans, so that I can go, you know, take care of my need. That's to me, it doesn't get in the ultimate team sport, which is what football is. You need 53 guys, you know, all doing their job, right? Mm-hmm. I just don't get it that a guy waits until, you know, a week before the game to go, no thanks. I'm going to go prepare for the draft. It just doesn't – I mean, you prepare for the draft every time you line up and play. See, to me, here's what it is. I think if Les Miles is there, and again, I'm going to go back to, you know, a father, because I still say if there's a father, it kills all the ills in the world. If Les Miles is still the head coach, Fournette doesn't do this. I don't believe that. I think that the leader's got to be so strong. Like the leader over at Nate, you know this. This would never happen at Navy. This would never happen. They've been guys, you know, Nappy McCallum went to the pros. He would never have said, I'm going to, you know, sit out this low-end bowl game to prepare to go to play for the Oakland Raiders. He would never have done that.
I think it's a different set of circumstances. I mean, I do see your point in terms of, I think sometimes different coaches have different levels of esteem and all of that. But I think this is one of those situations where we're talking about the creme de la creme of players. We're not talking about Keenan Reynolds at Navy who, you know,
you
I
can
love
find a running back anywhere. You can find a running back anywhere. Leonard Fournette.
Oh, true.
No
oh, no, no, no doubt. Well,
right.
No,
and McCaffrey's going to be a gat back. McCaffrey's not going to be a deal-breaking. Will he even get picked in the top three rounds?
Well, I don't know about that. What I would tell you is that whether you can find a back anywhere, any place, what these guys, and again, in a female sport, a woman, regardless of the situation, what these guys are looking at is this. If I'm going to be the first person selected, then I'm going to get the most money. And that's important. I mean, whether you're 7th or 12th or 28th, if you're that person, a la Leonard Fournette or Chris McCaffrey, whenever they get drafted, whatever it might be, or the young man out of Florida State we saw last night who played so well, whoever it is, if they're going to be first and they feel like, man, if I get dinged up in this bowl game, then there could be some questions, and then I might be the second back taken. That could be a lot of money. And the fact that you can find a running back anywhere, I think that it makes it all the more important for these guys at that position to make sure they're healthy. Because if you're now the second back instead of the first back, you might not go to the third round. And so there's a lot of money to be lost. Again, I think it's, you know, on paper, yeah, it'd be great to show up for the bowl game. I don't think there's anything wrong with your argument. What I'm saying is in big-time college athletics, we talk about the ultimate team sport, coaches don't display teamwork. They don't. I mean, you know, they really don't. They leave before bowl games. Fans want to see players
Wait a minute. I'm a coach. I can't let you say that. It's a totally different thing, Dave. The coach is not saying, hey, if I go out on this sideline, I may get run over by a deer, so I better not go stand on that sideline. What he's saying is I'm in an environment where I'm going to get fired. If I coach long enough, I'm going to get fired. So if so-and-so wants to pay me a dollar more where I can keep a job and keep income coming in for my family, that's what I'm going to do. What these players are saying is, first of all, they're turning their back on the entire team. They're teammates, right? I think there's a different connect between the player and the coach and the teammate, the player and the player, right? But the but Leonard Fournette is saying, and you're going to tell me Christian McCaffrey is so broke, the McCaffrey, they're so broke that he has to sit out a bowl game to get his draft stock up? No chance.
Well, I don't know the
coaches, I would agree with you that coaches aren't loyal, but they're not loyal because the environment in which they work isn't loyal. Right? Look at the guy.
Right.
Look at Jeff Fisher. They tell Jeff Fisher, hey, you've got a job for 2 more years. And then a week later, they go, oh, psych, never mind. No, you don't.
Yeah.
So if I'm Jeff Fisher, I'm looking for the next head job, too.
Well, you can say the same thing about players. You could say the same thing about players, though. I mean,
The player is doing it because he is, first of all, he's turned his back on his teammate. Now the coach has turned his back on his player, but I think it's a different relationship. But the player is saying, I got to go. I can't play in this one game to make, you know, $100,000 more. I mean,
The coaches doing the same thing? The coaches are doing the same thing. Brett Bielema left Wisconsin before the bowl game to go coach at Arkansas. He had a great job at Wisconsin. He thought he had a better job at Arkansas. He left before the bowl game. That's one example. He wasn't out of work. I mean, he left because...
Let me tell you this. If Ron Dayne doesn't play running back for Brett Bielema that day because he decides to sit the bowl game out, Brett Bielema could have been fired. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
If you coach long enough, you're going to get fired. Players can't say that.
If you play long enough, you're going to get hurt.
You can get
so
hurt.
So if you might as well, if you're going to get hurt and you know that that's going to happen, if a coach can leave Wisconsin to go to Arkansas to make $500,000 more and miss one game, why can't a player leave LSU or Stanford one game and go to the pros because he knows he's going to make $1 million more? Yeah.
I'll give you an example. They're going to cart Alfred Morris out there tomorrow, which is disgusting. The Cowboys are. Why wouldn't Alfred Morris go, nah, never mind. I'm already going to be a free agent. My body of work, I ran for 1,600 yards as a rookie. I don't want to get hurt in a meaningless game with the Cowboys who totally screwed me. So, nah, I'm not going to do that. No, Alfred Morris is going to play tomorrow. Why? Because players play. That's what they do.
Well,
they play.
Individuals, what you're hitting on, really, I mean, the bigger picture of your argument is that, you know, the player should always be loyal to the team and to the fan base and to the brand. And I think one thing that we're seeing at the college level, and you'll probably see it more at the pro level as well, where although at the pro level players are already getting paid, and so there is a tendency while you're still getting paid, you're still going to show up because you are physically – getting a paycheck. But what you're really seeing at the college level is the beginning, I think, of a new wave of thinking where players care more about their long-term health and hence their long-term money-making power than they do the brand. And that's something that flies in the face of this mentality of when you might have come up or I might have come up. It's just different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for years, we just expected players to shut up and play. That's what you really think. That, I mean, I'm not saying you're saying that, but I think there's a mentality where we say, you know, players should just play.
Shut up and play. I gave you $100,000 to play. Right.
Well, you didn't give
him
$100,000. You didn't give him $100,000. What you did was you gave – because you didn't – again, there is a difference between saying that you're giving someone an education and actually allowing someone to live their livelihood. Players like Leonard Fournette or Christian McCaffrey, their livelihood is they have a special talent and they're going to be able to play football. So there's no reason why they shouldn't, because they're really part of the one percenters. You know, the other guys, yeah, you should play.
Oh, yeah,
football is not going to be your livelihood. It's not going to be your livelihood. But this thought of this thought that you're getting an education and that's the that you should shut up and play, we already know that just because you get a college degree doesn't guarantee you a job. It doesn't guarantee your livelihood. I mean, you could go to school as a, on an academic scholarship and be a chemist, and it doesn't guarantee you your livelihood. So if these guys are chasing their livelihood, and that's why they're there, they're helping the school make money, just like a coach, like Nick Saban. If Nick Saban can leave said school to go to other said school before the bowl game, then the players should as well. And we're only talking about – and again, we might be talking about more and more players as time goes on, and that's okay. I mean – college football, college basketball is a big-time business. It's not just show up and play anymore and be quiet.
Right. No, you bring up a good point. And you know what? We could debate this one forever. We talked right through the break, so no Chuck Brown music today. Let's shift gears for one second, because you and I will never agree on that one, so that's a good thing. That's healthy and fine. Let's talk about this here show right here, the Extra Points Radio Show. You know, it's New Year's Eve. We have done this show 48 times. We started doing this in mid-January. I can remember in the fall and then going into the winter when it was just an idea. And, you know, we've tackled some pretty good topics. I know one topic that I'm going to tackle in 2017 is just make sure I don't dress like Joey Galloway, who I'm looking at here. But anyway, so one of the things that we talked about was we had a whole debate around youth sports. And I think it's kind of a good segue to what we were just talking about. Because what is Leonard Fournette and Christian McCaffrey saying to little Johnny at Allentown Boys and Girls Club, who goes, nah, I'm not going to play in the last game. We're 0-5. You know, we only got one game left. I don't want to get hurt before basketball season. So I'm good, right? So we had all kinds of debate around youth sports. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, this is where I fell. And then you tell me where you fell. I fell this way. I'm not the guy that signs up to the give little Johnny a participation certificate. I'm just not that guy. Now, I get it. I know that, you know, there's these all-star elite things and there's the more traditional. But at the end of the day, you know, what I want to see the kids do is learn the fundamentals in a safe environment, the coaches put some good values in them, and that they're moving forward. And moving forward means they're playing and you know, good sportsmen and that. But giving every kid a certificate just because he signed up back in August and now it's November, I'm probably not that guy. We were all over the map on youth sports. Where'd you, you know, kind of shake loose on that day?
Well, I you know, giving a kid a participation certificate, I don't think anything's wrong with that. I mean, I remember when I played Little League football, I mean, players played at different amounts based upon what the coach felt your talent level was. And then at the end of the year, you had a banquet and, you know, they gave you a certificate for showing up every day and battling through it. And I think that's a good thing. I don't think that you do damage by doing any of that. Sometimes they had an MVP or something like that and all that. So I don't care whether you give someone a trophy or whatever. I think it's cool if you demonstrate that and you come out and you do it. But I think the bigger picture is, and the thing that concerns me is, you know, you talked about, you know, everyone, you know, and coaches instilling values. I think that's the foundation. And I think we definitely agree on that. Where I get concerned is there seems to be a push now, even at the Little League, of, you know, let's start to monetize and make this some kind of a thing where, you know, we can have elite leagues and all that. And I think that that just gets to be a little dangerous because, you know, I think we already pay too much attention to football. And, you know, going out and seeing some of these games and sixth graders and eighth graders and fifth graders, and all of a sudden we have tapped who the best kid is, and they should be playing spring ball and fall ball and winter ball and all this other stuff. And we've got a monetary model for that. I just think that that can be a little dangerous. So
I mean, the Olympics did it. I mean, the Olympics did it. I mean, the Olympics, we could have run out our best college amateur athletes. We could have done that. But no. What we had to do was say, no, you know, good experience for an 18-year-old, a 16-year-old, whatever. But no, let's put a dream team together of guys who don't need a dime, and they get a free trip to Rio. You're going to tell me Carmelo Anthony needed to play and get a gold medal? No. So we did it in the Olympics. We took away the dream of so many. And if you remember the dream team from the 90s, Christian Laettner was the only high schooler on that team. So that means you took away so many opportunities for so many other amateur players to be able to play. So I like it where, you know, so of course it's going to happen at the next younger level where you've got the high school coaches, right? A good guy got fired this week because he didn't recruit enough blue chip people to beat the powerhouse. So now this guy is out of a job? So heck yeah. I think absolutely you might as well go ahead and start the kids early because what you just described is real life. And nobody's getting a certificate just because you came to work. You're getting a certificate.
Well,
if the company made profits for that year, you might get a gift card at the company Christmas party. And so when you might as well tell them now before it's too late, because what will happen is when they're mid-20s, and you tell them, hey, no Christmas bonus. What are you talking about? Now they got their mouth stuck out. They might as well.
Well,
tell them now.
I don't know if we should be comparing printing out 25 certificates to say, hey, good job for coming out this year, is comparable to a Christmas bonus. I don't think that. I think you're looking too generically on that. The other thing is, you know,
but what
I
about
think
that
what
guy
happens
that
is I think.
Though? But what about that guy that gets fired? Dave, if you're out there coaching high school football, and you don't go out,
I'm not talking about high school,
and tell this sixth grader he's the greatest thing since sliced bread, you're going to lose your job.
Well, but again, we're talking about youth sports here. We're talking about youth sports for the little ones and this penchant sometimes that we feel like, or at least in my opinion, that you feel like all of a sudden we know in the sixth grade that this person should be separated. And maybe, listen, there might be one or two of them, I guess. I'm just saying I think it becomes problematic when we feel like already at the fifth grade or sixth grade level or fourth grade level, whatever it is, that we already know. I mean, for the most part, I mean, when kids are that age,
no, I think I'm with you
we
on
don't
that.
Know.
I think
we,
I'm
we
with
don't
you
know.
On that. I think I'm a pretty
and
good
that's
actor
where,
talent.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, you might know. And again, there might be one or two kids that are really good. And
I
might
don't know
separate,
at fourth grade.
Right. You don't know at fourth grade. But what happens is you get these coaches who feel like they do. And then now the parents get these crazy ideas that, you know, my kid is that person. And then everyone tries to jump into it. And that's where you get into this whole thing. Well, now we got to go to, you know, Florida to play in some special league and we need $900,000. And can someone give us, I'm like, what? I mean, can't we just play at the local park here and everybody go home? I mean, whether you get a certificate or not, we can argue about that forever. I mean, certificates cost, 20 cents to make at Staples, whatever. But I'm just saying this notion that, well, hey, at fourth grade, you should have a special league and you should be playing in the wintertime and get off that. I don't buy that, and I think that's problematic. So, you know.
Well, you know, what 2016 definitely has brought to us is some change, right? I mean, big time change, all the way up to the highest office. It's been changed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as you think about the year overall, you know, what's a couple things that you'd love to change in sports that maybe 2017, maybe we go back and we listen to a link of this show a year from now, and maybe it happens, and we could say we predicted it, like I predicted Pitt would be Penn State and Clemson. What's your thing that you want to see?
If I was commissioner for a day, so to speak, or a week, I would demand that sports leagues take the Rooney Rule and apply it to like GMs and upper management, so that we don't get the same looking people being the GMs. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, you get a lack of creativity sometimes in coaching. I mean, I think that a woman could be an NFL coach. I think that there needs to be more diversity in coaches from a race, creed, color, gender standpoint. I think the way that they go about, and then I'm not just talking about the NFL, I'm talking about all sports, but, you know, hopefully we get to a day where the people making the decisions, you know, are a little bit more diverse, and it's not some club that has a lot of the same looking people who end up hiring a lot of the same looking people. So that would be my one. And then I'd ban MMA, coach. That would be my other one.
I'm with you on the first one. I mean, I'm going to always be pro diversity, so I'm with you on that one. I absolutely believe a woman can own a team, general manage a team, and coach a team, and play on the team.
Yeah.
Absolutely, no doubt.
Yeah.
But that MMA stuff last night, there I know people who have built their whole holiday around this one fight last night that wasn't even 60 seconds. Like this is ridiculous. Like, and it's just barbaric, brutal. It's just goodness. We don't need any more of that sort of tone and tenor in the country. Here's what mine are. Mine are probably a little more functional than yours. Before I give mine, though, I'm going to thank all of our fabulous listeners over the year. I want to thank one guy, though, and that's Kingsley up in New York. Dave, this guy never misses a show, man. So I know he's listening now. I just want to let him know that the Redskins are going to beat the Giants tomorrow. But anyway, all right. So here are my
three functional changes.
I don't want to see any ties on the football field. Go to the college for overtime and play the game until it ends. Right?
All right. No
ties. That's one.
All right.
Two, please get rid of targeting. Get rid of that. Make it a 15-yard penalty. If you want to just say, hey, we're going to eject the guy just because he's dirty, then do that. But get rid of the whole, I got to review it. Then he's got to sit out the next week. It's a 10-minute review. Yeah. Did he hit him in the pad? Did he hit him in the – just look, he's either dirty, it's a dirty hit, or it's not a dirty hit. But to get rid of the whole targeting concept. And then here's the other thing I'd shake up. If a field goal kicker kicks it beyond 50 yards, 4 points, if you look at the percentages, it's very low that guys make it over 50. Make that 4 points. That shakes the game up a little bit. So mine would be if I'm Roger Goodell. I would do that for the NFL. So,
Dave.
Give your quick thank yous as we wind down this year here.
No, thanks to you, man. It's been a great year. I've enjoyed it. Look forward to coming back next year, you know, at different places and times whenever you need me. And this has been great, man. I remember when we first started doing this a year ago, it was just a dream, and we started kind of getting it going. I really enjoyed it. Look forward to doing it more in 2017, maybe not every week, but certainly as much as I can. But I'm sure you're going to do great things with it. So just thank you and thank the listeners out there. It's been great, man. So I really enjoyed the time and look forward to it, brother.
Absolutely has been great. I want to thank, first of all of those who support Extra Points LLC. Go to the website, extrapointsllc.com. You know, I did two big things in 2016. I wrote a book and I did this podcast. And I couldn't have done it without the people listening, that's for sure. And I couldn't have done it without a pro in DO. So I appreciate everything, all your preparation. I mean, you taught me a lot. I usually just get on here and just kind of start talking. But, man, you taught me what it's like to be a broadcast journalism professional. So I appreciate that. We got 10 seconds. The extra point is up, and it is good. Happy New Year 2017.
Happy New Year, Coach. Happy New Year.
It's one a long way to right center.